Welcome, friends, to the Enduring Gifts of Marvin Gaye podcast, brought to you by your 26-year listening veteran, Jessica. Join me as we celebrate these enduring gifts, the songs of Marvin Gaye. In each episode, I will share insights about the music and recount life experiences tied to it. I'm hoping to inspire you to take a first or your 500th first listen to these songs that are truly the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye. Mercy, mercy me. What it's going to be important for me to remember in each one of these episodes is to actually give a little bit of background to the song itself, because that is ultimately the goal, is to explain the song. I previously recorded this episode and I was so caught up in, and it very excitedly caught up in my kind of first intense experience with the song. And at the end of it, I realized, wow, I didn't really cover a lot about the song, which wouldn't really give me any kind of credibility as to like knowing anything about the songs themselves, which is going to be important, because it's like, why just listen to anybody talking about something that they might not necessarily know anything about? So happy to do that, because it's going to be possible that someone listening to this might not even know what the heck I'm talking about. So mercy, mercy me. From the What's Going On album, 1971. Song 6, the final song on side one of the album. The album is formatted in a way that songs completely segue into one another. There really is that song. It's an album, but it really is one song. It feels like one song, even all the more when you are able to listen to it on disc. My first experiences listening to What's Going On happened on vinyl. So there literally were sides. You would listen to side one, you would deliberately have to go over to your record player, pick up the record, flip it over, put the needle back down to begin side two. So there's pause, right? There's endings. And so Mercy, Mercy Me is the final song on side one of What's Going On, which in a way does kind of make it stand alone. The ending of the song is definitely the ending of the message of the first side of that record, which up to that point has been a seamless continuation of music from the first notes of song one, What's Going On. So it is, it's like Marvin is giving you the ending of the message of side one of that album. And just one other little tidbit just about the album, What's Going On, and kind of where Marvin was in his musical creation journey at that time. Marvin shared with those around him at the time of where he was coming from for creating that album. He said God was writing the music and it was just channeling through him. He was like the vessel. It was all very inspired. It was coming to him as a message in that way. So in comparison to his whole entire body of work, that album definitely shines through in that light. It is a very hallowed feeling album, hallowed messages that are being given. And this message in that particular song is about the environment, and just kind of, and that is the one thing that kind of also just allows you to maybe feel that connection to the inspiration he says he was receiving to create it. The messages stand true note for note, word for word, till today. There's really not a song on that album that you can't listen to and be like, geez, that was just a headline. in the news. That just happened. You know, there's really been no change in the need for the messages of those songs from 1971 until today, which happens to be 2019. So for me, definitely the focus on the environment is not the importance of the song for just for me personally. It probably was more so for Marvin, but for me personally, now with that introduction and actually some background on the actual song and where it came from and Marvin's, you know, kind of input on it, my personal experience with it, happened in 1990. Now, as I just mentioned, I recorded this episode actually last night, and I tried to re-listen to it today, and it was gone. So it was okay to me because, as I said when I first started, I realized that I had really just focused like almost exclusively on my experience with the song. And at the end of it, I was like, wow, somebody who had never heard the song wouldn't really have much like a little encouragement of the music itself. You know, they would have gotten a full explanation of my experience with it. So, you know, I, like I said, I will definitely be mindful of giving a blend of information here. So, this is actually episode 2 for me. So I have expressed in episode 1, like when Marvin first came into my musical presence, which was actually the beginning of memories that I have being alive. He has been on the airwaves and just in my musical experience since as far back as I can remember. And, but then actually, you know, as soon as that happened, he was dead as well. So then there were just years, right, where I was just continuing to grow up. I was, I'm trying to think. I was 5 when Marvin Gaye passed away. And that, you know, was from there, you know, life, you're just a child. You just go on being a child. And I did express this last night. I guess I'm going to kind of now go back through my thoughts from yesterday and kind of pick and choose what to share, because it was so very, very, very just personal, which is not really completely relevant to the Marvin aspects of it. But it was just to express that as a child, you know, growing up listening to music, it didn't involve any choice. There was very little choice. I would say the bulk of my musical experience from the time that Marvin passed away until turning age 14, when I deliberately decided to start learning Marvin Gaye, that 9-year gap of time, my musical experiences involved very little choice in those very early years from 5 until, you know, what do? You're listening to the radio in the car. You're watching MTV. MTV was just dawning at that time. So I was recalling this yesterday. Just like the things that I would be exposed to on MTV that were not my choice. They were not my musical genres. They were not my songs of choice. But that was the next thing that MTV was playing. And that was back in the days when MTV played nothing but music the entire time that they would be on the air every day. I don't think that they were on the air 24/7, but the entire time that they were on the air, they played nothing but music videos. They didn't have any non-music, like original production shows that were going on. It was just nothing but music video after music video. So that would be a lot of music exposure during the day. And that would be most days of summer vacations filled with, you know, watching MTV for the day, almost, it would seem like. So you're just getting exposed to song after song after song that you are in no way choosing what you're listening to next. And so all that just meant for me is that I just, it was like, what is my musical choice? I have absolutely no idea. I listen to whatever plays next. So it was just kind of, it was remarkable to me the amount of music that I was exposed to and listened to back in those days that I would absolutely, at this point in time, not really choose to listen to. Just because Marvin Gaye is who I choose to listen to nowadays. So, but back then, well, and let's start though. Actually, you know, some of the very, very first stuff that I was ever seeing on MTV actually was Marvin Gaye. It was the Sexual Healing video. There was a lot of Jermaine Jackson had something at that exact same time. So it would be some, it would be like, I remember a day where it was like this Jermaine Jackson music video played and then it went into Marvin. I feel like it was an R&B focused show that was going on because there was just R&B stuff. I remember Anita Baker, when she very first came out, I wouldn't listen to her because when Anita Baker very first came out, Grace, whatever her name is, that there's this black lady, Grace, whoever, who has really short, spiky hair and always would wear this really bright red lipstick, and she was just in my mind at that age crazy and was not a singer. You know, it was just something for show and that effect to just be, you know, shocking, the shock effect. And I was so little when Anita Baker first came out with her very short hair. I wasn't able to distinguish that Anita Baker wasn't that lady because I had at one point heard that. I was like, oh my gosh, no. You know, so when Anita Baker came out, I thought she was that lady and I would not listen to her. But then finally, I remember it was like first grade, I think I finally listened to the Anita Baker video when it came on and I was like, oh, this lady sings. Okay. But there was Cyndi Lauper. There was Elton John. Elton John, I'm Still Standing, in that video. I just, whenever Cyndi Lauper and that Elton John video would come on, my head would always just be kind of cocked to the side and I would be staring at the screen in disbelief, just not understanding what I was seeing. They were just so extreme and just, it was like, what in the world? You know, but it was just coming through and there was no really discernment as a child to say no thank you, because that is, as children we are just sponges, we absorb everything, right? We just take it all in. We don't really have a lot of power at that point to kind of say change the channel, or you know, it was a lot of just taking in stuff that at the end of the day, oh my gosh, you would not have chosen. To edging a little bit further into childhood. So now I remember about the age of 9, Rod Stewart had this hit. And so again, these times that I'm thinking of just like constant music video absorption during the day, summer vacation for sure. Summer vacation, always over at my grandparents' house and just, you know, all day long. What are you going to do? You watch TV, you watch MTV. So Rod Stewart had some song that it was like really big at the time. And I remember they would play that video a lot. And then at that time too, there was a lot of Motley Crue. Like I just remember Dr. Feelgood. It's just like a lot of the big hair bands, you know, the air quotes heavy metal. They're not, you know, really heavy metal, but just in my opinion, you know, no disrespect to anybody else that is their zhuzh, but in my opinion, just not my musical tastes, but for whatever reason, just taking it in, you know? So I Googled this after I recorded my episode yesterday because I needed to get this information, because here comes my first experience with Mercy, Mercy Me. It was in 1990, which made me 11, and that I didn't know the date and I didn't know my age when I was recalling this last night, but when I Googled it, it was like, okay, that's perfect timing. Cause that's exactly, and you know what? It's like, I don't remember anything specific about being the age 11, except for now I know that this happened when I was 11. 11's the kind of one of those really just like, huh? Years is just like, you're not quite even preteen yet, you know, you're just kind of, it's a very in-between age, right? But so it was one week night And I was recalling, it was dinner time. I was at the dinner table. It was in the kitchen, in the dining area, kitchen area. And it was very dark outside. So it had to have been winter time. It was those colder months of the year where it's dark earlier. And it's like dark, dark, dark outside earlier. So it was one night during a week. My family would always eat dinner together at the dinner table. Like, we just always did that. There were no smartphones. There were no laptops, tablets. Was there internet? I don't even know if there was internet. There was not internet. At least there was not internet in our house. So, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of distraction to not sit at the table and eat as a family. And so we did that every single night. Now, we always had the TV on as a part of it as well. So it wasn't like completely family bonding time in that, you know, it was just totally conversation. We would always be fixated on the same show together, though. So we would watch the same show as a family. It was usually Wheel of Fortune. If we were eating dinner, like, early and on time, but sometimes it would be a little bit later. And what I remembered is, like, Martin came on every Thursday night, and we would always be eating dinner watching Martin together. So it was this one weekday night, because I just remember it was a school night and it was dark outside, and I was at the kitchen table area. I was standing up, so I think we must have been about done eating dinner, which would make sense why it was so dark. And, you know, so I would always be clearing off the table. So I'm like going back and forth from the table, the dining room area, to the kitchen. And all of a sudden, there was this commercial that came on. And the entire sound of this commercial was the song Mercy, Mercy Me. And, okay, at that moment, it was one of those experiences where it's like it's the first time you're probably hearing the song, but yet it sounds totally familiar. It's like, this is the first time I'm hearing this song, but I know I've heard it before. And that actually probably was literally that experience for me, because what I shared at the very end of what I was saying last night, but I'm going to share it right here, was that, since this very pivotal experience, because this was a very pivotal experience for me, it was a very dawning experience. It was a very light bulb turning on experience for me. It was a very beginning experience for me. And I think that was really the purpose that that song has served in my life, is that, Mercy, Mercy Me really served as the pivotal, let's get started listening to Marvin Gaye for the rest of our lives type of experience. Yet, kind of since then, the song is almost it's over commercialized to me. And I, like, at this point in time, 26 years later, I don't often listen to this. I will, if I listen to the album, I don't often feel the need to listen to the song. And that has actually been the case for many, many, many years. It'll be just like that song is almost overdone to where it's like it's coming up to that song and it's almost like a requirement for me to skip it because it's just overdone, in my opinion. But at that time, which I'm so thankful, you know, that it actually was that song, and it needed to be that song, because it was in that instant when it was coming on the radio or the TV, that it was that type of an experience for me, where it was, and it was a stop me dead in my tracks type of experience. And I pointed, this was the one and only time that I ever heard this commercial. And I said last night, I thought it was selling a car. I think it was an Audi commercial. It was some type of a car commercial. So after I recorded it, I Googled Mercy, Mercy Me in a commercial, and it brought it up. And that's where I got these statistics. It was 1990. And actually what it was a Sony music commercial. And they were selling, I think, CD players, because CDs were kind of just starting to become the predominant media for music at that point in time. And this, they had a little bit of a voiceover where they were talking about, you know, Sony and selling CDs and, you know, their CD players being great to listen to the music on. But the whole entire music to selling this product was the Mercy, Mercy Me song. So I was like, and at the very end of the commercial, these two people are driving in a convertible. So that's where the car element of it came from to me. I was like, oh my God, it was so, I was like, yes, that's what happened. That's what played that night that stopped me in my tracks when I heard that music coming through the TV, because it was like the first time I'm hearing that music come through the TV. I've probably heard that music come through the radio on any random station at any random point in time. Marvin Gaye is a very well-known artist. Mercy, Mercy Me is one of his most familiar songs. Just kind of, if I'm only going to play generic Marvin, I'm going to play you, I heard it through the grapevine, I'm going to play you Mercy, Mercy Me, I'm going to play you What's Going On. You know, like there's going to be some major, I'm going to play you Sexual Healing, Let's Get It On. There's some huge, huge sellers that were huge crossover hits that, like, if anybody knows music, you know those songs, because just like all of the ones that I mentioned from childhood that I would not necessarily choose to listen to, I know those songs because they were played. You know, it was kind of dictated, like, this is what you hear. So it's one of those dictated, you have heard that song, songs of Marvin's. So, you know, I think that because of that fact that, you know, I had heard a tidbit of that song at some point prior to this, but at the same time, it was the first time that I'm hearing it come through the radio, right? Like, or through the TV, excuse me. Let me get that straight. Through the TV, right? It is not a music video that's on the airwaves at that point in time. And I'm still in that age where I'm just listening to whatever's being pumped through. You know, I'm not selective. I'm not making my personal individual choices that much. And I'm just kind of listening to whatever. So to hear it coming through the TV, in that way where it's like next thing you know, not because you just chose to listen to this, but the next thing you're just going to start hearing this sound, that was a very stop me in my tracks. Wow, I'm mesmerized, I'm captivated. What is this beautiful, beautiful noise that I'm hearing right now? And so I do remember I just stopped dead in my tracks and I did not move until this commercial was done playing. And I also realized once I Googled this last night and I looked it up, like I did know that it was Mercy, Mercy Me, because they were playing a section of the song where he's saying Mercy, Mercy Me, you know, he's singing those words. And so I was like, wow, that was Marvin Gaye and that's Mercy, Mercy Me. And that was so, 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 so beautiful. And so it was definitely, like I said, a dawning experience for me where it was like, whoa, there's going to come a point in time where by deliberate choice, I'm going to get to know Marvin Gaye. Like I'm going to listen to the album that that song is on. I'm going to listen to that whole song. I'm going to listen to that whole album until it gets to that song. You know, it was just one of those, life is going to change musically at some point, and it will be about getting to know more about this artist, his music, and this song. So Mercy, Mercy Me is just definitely an amazing starting point for anybody, because it is one of those, you'll listen to it and you will know you have heard it before, right? You will know you've heard this song before, but it would be amazing to listen to it with an intention of like letting it be a jumping off point for you to just like, I'm going to start here and I'm going to dive off into the deep end of what getting to know so much more about this man's music is all about. And this is a very safe, this is a very familiar, this is a very beautiful jumping off place to just feel very comfortable about getting into it, because it's not going to be an unpleasant experience in any way, shape, or form. No matter what else you would, you know, dabble into to listening to. When I would say that, like, the only thing that I would maybe kind of mean about that is, and I've heard this, and therefore there is some of the material that I have not listened to of Miles Davis, right? Miles Davis is kind of that type of experience. There are some of Miles Davis's albums where it's like, it's a little bit more, it's a different type of trip. You know what I'm saying? And you kind of have to be like a deep hardcore fan to just be like, all right, I'm getting that album and I'm going in on this album, because it's going to be a musical experience that's just a little bit different. You know, it's a little, maybe a little off. and you're just like committed to your man to just be jamming out on it. You know, it's not that same type of trip with Marvin. There are definitely, I would say, sections, or I would say segments of Marvin's career. He had a very varied musical career. He dabbled in different types of music. He had different visions of the type of music that he wanted to make. And so there will be some things that are very different than others that, you know, just might appeal a little bit more than others, but really nothing painful, nothing where it's like, oh my gosh, what in the world? Nothing like that. So, but Mercy, Mercy Me is definitely a great start. It was the pivotal turning point in my life. And as I really never encountered the song again after that 30-second blip, 1 week night in winter when I was 11 years old, until I was 14 and I got my hands on the vinyl record, What's Going On. And I took my time to progress to that song. So, and like I said, it's song 6, the final song on side 1. The entire album in itself is no more than 35 minutes from start to finish. And like, when you get to the place of listening to it on a disc, then it just feels like what 35 minute long song. It's a suite. It segues song to song to song. And actually, it doesn't even necessarily play that way the best on disc, I don't think. I do believe, like, on disc that they might put a couple of second pause in between each song. I swear, when you listen to it on vinyl, you set that needle to the first note of What's Going On, the song, the album, it just segues. The songs do not end. It just lightens up a little bit to What's Going On to start into here, What's Happening, Brother. And then lets down a little bit to start into Flying High in the Friendly Sky. Lets down a little bit to start into Save the Children. Lets down starts into God is Love. Lets down starts into Mercy, Mercy Me. So definitely I will say that by the time that I got to the album, and it really did take me however many 15 minutes or so to get to the beginning of Mercy, Mercy Me, it was a little bit of a musical relief, because it was familiarity. There is not a familiar song from What's Going On until Mercy, Mercy Me. And those songs, some of the songs are a little different than Mercy, Mercy Me sounding, you know. And for a younger girl, you know, it was like, I don't really necessarily know. There, I will say that probably Flying High in the Friendly Sky was a little bit different to me at that time. And it was a little bit like, I was a little skeptical, like, huh? You know? And then But I'm going to listen, right? Like, I'm just going to listen to it because I want to learn. I want to get to know everything. And then by the time on that album that you get to Mercy, Mercy Me, it's just like a familiar, it's a very positive sound. It's a very uplifting. You just kind of feel safe again. It's like, wow, this is just a good, solid, safe song. And it's a good message, and it just sounds so beautiful. So here's just, I'm going to end this on this note. Last night, after I recorded this for the first time, I went into my Spotify, and there is a tribute album that happened in probably about, oh goodness, probably about almost 20 years ago now, because it was titled Marvin is 60, and that was 20 years ago. No, literally 20 years ago. And somewhat, I don't, it's not even important who, but they had Mercy, Mercy Me on there as one of the tribute songs, you know, so it was an album of, you know, current day artists at that time, just singing Marvin songs. And someone did Mercy, Mercy Me, and it was just interesting to me the way, well, this goes back to what I said in episode one, and I won't have a problem with repeating this. You know, call me a musical snob. No one but Marvin will do. That's exactly the reason why for 26 years, my daily need basis for him has continued, because I have a pretty much daily need basis for music. And it truthfully is that for me, nobody but Marvin will do. And so this is a little critical right now. So sorry, there will be a little bit of mess talking throughout this, because no one but Marvin will do. And so when I was listening to this attempt, is what I will call it, and, you know, God bless and really love the love, but it was at the end of the song, I was like, oh my God, like, why does this not sound, why does this so much not sound like the song, you know? It's like, why? It's because it's not Marvin. Only Marvin will do. Don't get it twisted. Only Marvin will do. So that's a very crucial and key, you know, element to Marvin. And I think, you know, just kind of why he stands out so much. It's like, in a remake will not do the trick, okay? So go ahead and listen to Mercy, Mercy Me from the What's Going On album, song 6. There is actually nothing more fun than listening to Marvin on vinyl. If you can get your hands and you have these set up, I don't have the setup. I grew up in a house with the setup. I will point that out too. I pointed that out when I recorded it last night. I grew up in a house with a humongous, like an insanely large vinyl record collection. My stepmom worked in record stores. So before there used to be CD stores, there used to be record stores, and that used to be really, really fun. When I say that I didn't really have any musical selection and musical taste, I do remember having like my own little records when I was a little girl. They were like little children records, though. They were like telling stories. So I do remember one time, very, very young, like probably 4 years old, being in this record store that my stepmom, I think she had used to work in, and I was in the little kids section, and, you know, I would get like little 45s that would kind of, I had a little 45 record player. And honestly, though, I will say, just to give one little nod, I did one time, this is the only one that I ever remember, though, like of my own personal choice. Madonna. I bought Borderline. I had Borderline, like 1982. Remember being in Target, getting that, sitting in the front of the shopping cart, little enough where my little legs were dangling out of the two little holes there, you know, the little spot where you're supposed to like set your children in, put their little legs through the thing. So I was in the front of the buggy, and it was my choice of what did I want to get, and I chose a little 45 of Madonna, Borderline. But other than that, like, I really don't remember having, like, my own personal music collection other than, like, little children's stories records. But, yeah, listening, it's, I don't know. Like, I think it is. It's for the times that I ever would listen to What's Going On, it was on vinyl. It was at the beginning of the study. Not to the place yet where I'm kind of rejecting it for just like, it's a little bit overplayed, you know, it's a little bit too well known. And this just went into something that I pointed out just to reveal a little bit about my personality of like why that's kind of a thing for me, like an adverse thing for me, is that I refuse to be on bandwagons. I'm never going to be a part of something because it's a huge movement or because millions of people believe that something is absolutely amazing. It's like, I have to determine that for myself. I'll be the judge of that. And kind of when something is just over the hell played, it's like, I'm done. I don't want to hear this song one more time. You know, there were plenty of those songs on the radio growing up. There were just like, oh my God, they have played this song like 15 times today. Don't want to hear it anymore. So by now, the song had kind of got, I will honestly say, it was years back. There was a portion of time that the song was kind of in that category for me, but it's been more recently, maybe it was even this year, where here was something that I kind of, it humbled myself on the song. Whereas it was like, okay, one time it was coming on and it was like, all right, I'm going to listen to it today. I'm not going to skip it. And I'll sing it even because I know that I know the song front and back and I know it by heart and da 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 da. And it started to play and I had skipped it for so many years and not really absorbed it and really listened to it, that once it started to play and I was trying to sing along to it, I realized that I didn't know the nuances of the vocals and I really couldn't sing the song. So it was like, there's no reason not to know this song. Listen to this. It's absolutely beautiful. It's just, it has been a little bit too commercialized. It's been a little bit overplayed sometimes, but obviously not by you. So go on ahead and listen to it. So definitely, you know, with no hesitations, mercy, mercy me, give it a great listen. Beautiful message, beautiful sound, an amazing example of the sounds that Marvin is able to make. The joy, the relaxation, the safety, the experience that he gives you. It's an experience giving song. So definitely a great one for any time you're needing that type of an uplifting, magical, safe, joyful experience. Enjoy.
Well, friends, that's it for this episode. Did we have fun? I had fun. Subscribe to our show so you never miss the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye. And we're excited to announce that you can follow us on Pinterest at our page, pinterest.com/MarvinGaye_enduring_gifts. There, you can see our gorgeous picture boards for each podcast episode, among many others. These boards are full of images of Marvin capturing key moments from each episode. We're making this a listening and viewing experience for you. So until next time, thank you for listening.